Welcome to watch a video about the financial aspects when you're applying for a personal or an expenditure grant. In this video, I'm going to show you how to prepare your budget, what to do when you have been granted, and also we're actually going to take a quick look to reporting. So in this video, as mentioned before, we're going to talk about two different types of grants. First, I'm going to share about the difference between these two types of grants, the personal grant and the expenditure grant, and then we're going to look at them separately. First, how to apply, and then what to do when you have been granted. And unfortunately, this video will be quite long, but you can find bookmark links below this video, and they might help you when you're searching for a particular guidance or advice later on. So let's begin. A personal grant might be called also a working grant, depending on your funder. But as the name says, the personal grant, a working grant, means that it's like a substitute of your salary, meant to cover the living when you focus on your research. And as the name says, this is personal and paid to your personal bank account. Usually, when you apply for a personal grant, it means that you will not be doing a separate budget, like a separate budget file, but you will type into the application on how many months you will be applying for. This might vary from funder to funder, so please check the instructions carefully when you're applying. The other type of grant is usually called an expenditure grant. It also might have different names, but nevertheless, it means all the expenses related to your research, whatever you might be need in order to conduct your research. And I will give you examples later on in this video. Please note that not all the funders offer this type of grant, but you will have to check the instructions again. In principle, the expenditure grant is also paid to you personally, to your personal bank account. But there are two exceptions, however. The other exception is that sometimes the funder's rules say that they will pay the expenditure grant only to an institutional bank account. And the other exception is that if you plan to buy something that a private person is not able to, then you need to have the grant at the university bank account. And this might be the case, for example, if you're purchasing chemicals. Applying for an expenditure grant usually means that you will be doing a budget that shows the estimates of your costs. And I will be sharing some tips and practical examples later in this video. Also, usually the funder wants to know how you spend the grant, so they might be wanting something called financial report or something similar after the grant period. But again, please refer to the instructions of your funder as they might vary. Well, there is also something called university compensation. It is not a separate grant, but it can be applied on top of your personal working grant. Although not every funder offers this type of money, but please check the foundation you will be applying from if they offer this type of money. University compensation is something that is meant to be accounted to the university if you will work at the university premises. Of course, you always have the option to work from home if it suits your research and the means of your work. The compensation payment varies. Well, some funders will pay to your personal bank account and then some will give it directly to the university. If the foundation that you will be applying money from offers this type of extra grant, please apply for it. Well, now, let's look a bit deeper to the different types of grants. And first, we're going to talk about the personal grant and how to apply for it. Please know that when you're applying for a personal working grant, it usually requires full-time working and focusing on the research. If part-time working is allowed, then it has to be reported and it might reduce the amount of grant you will be receiving. Also note that usually it is not allowed to have multiple grants from different sources to the same research purpose on the same time. So please check the instructions carefully. A glad thing is that usually, actually, grants in Finland are tax-free up to a certain amount, but the amount varies yearly. You have to go to Tax and Administration website, the link is below this video, to see what is the yearly amount that it's tax-free up to. And the third point, you are actually required to pay something called MYEL pension insurance. It is offered by something an institution called MELA. And this is compulsory if your grant lasts more than four months. And MELA is a separate institution. It is not attached to universities. So unfortunately, we are not able to give you more advice on this. But MELA has a really good website and they also have an info number you can call and ask advice and guidance from. Please know that all on top of the compulsory pension insurance, we also encourage you to choose the other insurances provided by MELA that are tailored to suit the needs of grant researchers. Okay, so let's imagine that you have been granted with a personal grant. Congratulations! Let's look at the steps what you need to do when you have been granted. First, go and change the status of your application in Converis. You were required to make a Converis notification when you sent the application, when you applied. If you didn't do it, please do it now. Because it's mandatory to do it in order to proceed in the next steps. Because the head of the unit will go to Converis and approve your Converis notification. Also, the unit secretary will go to Converis and check all the details and that everything is archived correctly. And this is a mandatory step to do the following. So if you will work at the university premises, please notify your unit secretary. And you will sign something called grant researcher's contract, which is called the agreement on conducting research using the university premises and equipment. If you have access to our intranet, you can find the link below this video and go and check how the agreement looks like. The content of the agreement varies and you should negotiate it with the head of the unit. You can see on the contract there's boxes you can tick on which services you will be using. You will also be given an access card, and this allows you to get discount at university cafeterias, and you can use the copy machine and so on. But please note that even though you will get an access card and you are having a personal grant, you will not be employed by the university. Therefore, you are not entitled, for example, to the occupational healthcare which the university provides for its staff members. Okay, so if you apply to a university compensation on top of your personal working grant, your unit secretary will see it from the Converis, and then they will inform the university financial unit, who will then charge the compensation either from you or from the funder, depending on the funder's instructions. This is actually an automatic process, but just to let you know how it goes. Okay, that was about the personal working grant. Now, let's move on to talk about budgeting an expenditure grant. So, a budget is an estimate of costs related to your research. It is an estimate, but it has to be realistic. And please take time drafting your budget, because it actually can be a make or break deal when the funder considers whether they will fund you or some other person. So please do not take this lightly. Start by reading the funding manual and see what kind of expenses are eligible for the type of grant you are applying for. Typically, the costs have to be directly linked to your research. Usually, something called subcontracting is not an eligible cost. Subcontracting means that you would be acquiring work from another person or some company. I will actually present you one general exception of this later in this video, but there are other two. But you have to now go and see the funding manual, and if it doesn't say about subcontracting, please ask the funder before applying. There are usually very good question and answer sessions provided by the funder before the deadline, so go and participate and ask if you're uncertain whether something you would need is eligible cost or not. Okay, one very important thing, budget justification. Budget justification means the exact description of the proposed cost. So everything you budget must be explained in your application. There cannot be any gaps. So the more concrete you can be on your justification, the better. So please explain why would you need this type of service or information system? Why do you need these chemicals, these books, whatever? How do they advance your research during the grant period? Do they save you time? Do they are essential part of your research? Whatever. It really varies. But please be very concrete and have a last glance on your budget. That did you explain all the costs in your text in the application? I have one very common example here about travels. So if you want to travel to a conference to present the findings of your research, so you might be wanting to apply for a travel grant. I have two examples here. On the left, you have example if you know the conference you will be attending to, and then on the right side, there's some examples if you have not decided which conference you would be attending to. The situation varies a bit. The instruction was recorded 2021, so please do not take the numbers directly, but do Google and think what the situation might be like for you when you're applying for a travel grant. So if you know the conference, there are a few things you have to put in your budget. Cross-border flights or cross-border travels. The average amount for other travel expenses to and from airport usually. Then the accommodation, and then the conference fee. And these apply to the right side as well. So if you do not know which conference you would be attending to, then you have to do an estimate. Flight costs. Use the price with a cancellation insurance. You never know what might happen. Also, decide will you be bringing a bigger luggage or just a hand luggage, because the prices vary. But use maybe it's wise to budget with a bigger number, with a bigger estimate of costs. Other travel expenses, you have to Google where your destination is, how long is it from the airport, and check the train or bus fares, for example. Accommodation, multiply the average cost per night with the conference days. You can stay for a longer period of time if you want to take a holiday out of your conference trip, but please be careful to apply from the funder just the nights of your conference day. Obviously, if the conference starts early in the morning, then it's okay to travel the night before or budget the night before, the accommodation for the night before. but please be very careful in this if you know the conference. You could even attach the conference program if they have such when you're applying for the grant. Then the last point, please do not forget to budget for the conference fee because they could be hundreds of euros, so you want to include it as an expense to your budget. If it has not been published yet, you can go and and see the fees from previous years to get an estimate on how it would be. So what happens if your actual costs then exceed the amount that you were applying for and you got funded? Well, then you have to go to your own pockets and pay the extra euros that exceeded your original estimate. But the easiest way is to take a cheaper accommodation, take cheaper flights or trains or buses, and save that way. But take time on estimating your costs to your conference. It's important that it's about the right amount. Then I have another example about a service you might want to acquire. So if you would, for example, have 30 hours of data in video format, and you have found a company who would transcript it for you automatically, so you wouldn't have to do it. So please do a budget justification. How is acquiring the service advancing your research? How much time you save and what you plan to do on the time when you, the saved time? Please be careful that your whole application could be rejected only because there's one error in your application. So be very careful when you budget subcontracting. And as I advised before, go and ask the funder if you're uncertain whether, for example, a transcript service would be eligible cost. When you budget for example, a service, go and to the service provider's website, check at least two or three to calculate an average price for a certain service. If you don't find prices, you could go and ask a quote, like an offer from few companies providing the service. But please make sure you do not order the service yet. You just ask for an estimate. Usually, if the companies tend to provide business-to-business type of services, then it usually the prices are usually stated without the value-added tax. So it says VAT 0%. But you want to budget including VAT because you're going to pay the value-added tax, which is 24% in Finland. This type of example applies anything else that you would be acquiring, whether it's printing or chemicals or information systems or whatever. You do not have to name the company in your application, except you already know the company you will be acquiring the service from. In that case, you might want to name the company because it makes it more concrete and you have thought this through why you need this service. Well, let's again imagine that you have been granted with an expenditure grant. Congratulations! Let's see the steps you need to make after that. So please use the grant just as you described in your application. If you need to make an exception, please consult the rules first. What do they say? Do you have to notify the funder when you make an exception or not? And if you're uncertain, contact them and ask whether it's okay to make an exception and why would you need to do an exception. If the expenditure grant is paid to your personal bank account, save all the receipts of purchases that are linked to your grant. This is very important because the funder might want to know how you spent the money, and it might be difficult to remember, for example, 1 year back, what did you buy and when and from whom and so on. So have a habit of saving all the receipts to a specific cloud folder. And one other important thing is that always take your receipt and see that it includes the date of purchase and explicit explanation of what you have purchased. If it does not, then you can type in manually like a note saying the date and what was the purchase about. This is different if the expenditure grant is paid to university bank account, because then actually the unit launches a project. We have project secretaries who will establish a project account, and then they will guide you on the practicalities of purchases. And then there's also Converse archiving guidelines you will follow. But if the purchase is on your personal bank account, then save all the receipts and do what I just told you. As I mentioned before, the funder might expect a report of the use of expenditure grant. Check your funder's instructions, how to prepare the documentation, and follow the guidelines on reporting. And if the grant was paid to university and your funder needs a financial report, you can ask your department's project secretary to provide you one, but it might not be needed. It really varies from foundation to foundation. Okay, so we have reached the end of our video. Let's just do a quick recap. First, always remember to read the application instructions carefully. You want to obey the funder's rules to get funded. 2. Make sure that your budget and the application text are in line, so there are no gaps between the things you plan to acquire and your research application. And 3. Please remember to update your Converse. The Converse instructions can be found in this Moodle course in another section. So, thank you for your attention, and I wish you good luck on your application.